When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
The Lifestyle Show, presented by Selena McKenzie.
Now, former Sports News Reporter of the Year, Neil Harmon, suffered a brain hemorrhage in 2023. He spent 4 months in hospital and had to face a retirement very different from the one he'd planned. He's now put his story in a book called Brushes with a Stroke. Welcome to the show, Neil Harmon.
Thank you very much, Selena. Nice to be here.
Nice to have you on the show, Neil. So I'm sorry to hear what happened to you. I mean, strokes can be awful. I remember my grandmother having quite a severe stroke. Do you mind telling us your personal story?
Well, I mean, I'm going to try and cut a long story very short. I was just sitting at home, bank holiday Monday in May 2023, watching a rerun of The Coronation of Charles and Camilla, practicing Zadok the Priest, which I love to sing, and suddenly my face went rock hard. I mean, absolutely as hard as rock, and my left arm, and I thought, what the heck is going on? So I thought it must be pins and needles. So I got up and walked around a couple of times, sat down, and nothing had changed. So I had the foresight to Google the symptoms, and it said, it's a possibility that you are suffering a stroke. So, of course, you kind of half put it to the back of your mind, but at the same time, hopefully your intelligence kicks in, and if this is true, I've got to prepare for something pretty awful. Mm-hmm. So I went upstairs, which is not a very good choice, to have a shower, and as I was coming out of the ensuite, I suddenly was on the floor. And as people say, when you have a stroke, there's no really searing sensation of pain. It's just like I was floating and I couldn't do anything but land on the floor, thankfully on the carpet, rang my wife because my mobile phone was within reach, another very lucky thing for me. And I said, as you would, sorry, dear, but I think I'm having a stroke. And she ran back. She was taking her morning walk. And there I was on the floor, and I was having a stroke. Luckily, it was bank holiday. The nearest hospital, the Royal Barks in Reading, is only 7 miles away. I was in within the hour and being treated. So in a way, all the cards fell in my favour from that point of view.
Yeah, because you do have to catch it very quickly, don't you?
Yes, I think I'm right in saying that every minute that goes by without a stroke being treated, you lose 1.9 million brain cells.
Christ.
So I was down about 45 million by this moment.
Oh, wow.
But I was in a tube, came out, and they said it was a hemorrhage in one place on the brain. It was significant, but hopefully not life-threatening. And I was in a very good place because the Royal Barks had a very good reputation as a stroke unit. And so I became a resident in the Royal Barks for, 2 months there, 2 months in a neuro rehab. And 2 years later, here I still am, not nearly 100%, but still alive and kicking.
That's amazing. Well done you. It must have been very frightening for both you and your wife.
Yes, I mean, frightening is the word because you don't know what it is. You have an idea. You don't know the repercussions. No one really tells you anything because no one can tell you the full impact. That will only develop over a period of time. So I'm kind of lying back amidst all these other poor souls. And over time, I thought, what am I going to do? I'm a writer. Let's write a book. So I would tell stories about my fellow, I call them my fellow inmates, in the various places. I obviously cover their identity. But there's a, it's a strange thing, Selena. You're obviously you're very concerned and anxious. Your arm doesn't move, your leg doesn't move, your mouth doesn't move. But at the same time, luckily my sense of humour wasn't impaired, and I did see the funny side of lots of things. And I think in a stroke ward, if you take life too seriously, you'll probably end up underground rather than overground.
Yeah.
So I determined to look on it as bright as I could, and that's still my philosophy even 2 and a bit years down the line.
And I guess you've put some of this humour in the book, have you?
Oh, yes. In fact, one or two of my pals have said, how can you possibly find the mirth in things? But stroke patients, of course, because no two strokes are alike. Some people lose their cognitive skills, their hearing, their sight. Me, it was movement. We're all sort of very different characters struck down by something that we're all fearful of, but we all kind of jolly along. I found it rewarding in many respects, life-affirming in others. But as one of the people I interviewed for the book, I interviewed 6 people from the world of sport who've had a stroke, and one of them said, I had to realize it's the new me. The old me is gone. This is the new me. And I have to live the life that I'm in now rather than the one I used to be in. And that's the way I look upon it. It's hard, but if you give up, you die. So yes. You must give up.
Yeah, yeah. Can you tell us the 6 people you interviewed, or did you say you'd not put their names in?
No. I didn't tell the names of the characters in the ward.
Ah, I understand.
The people I interviewed were, believe it or not, the great Michael Johnson, the athlete from the United States, gold medalist, one of the great relay runners of all time, sprinter, Michael Leiner, the former captain of the Australian rugby union side, John Gorman, who was the assistant coach to England under Glenn Hoddle, played for Tottenham, Carlisle, and many other teams. Noel Blake, a former footballer with Portsmouth and Leeds and Birmingham, who became an England under-21 coach. And 2, dare I say, amateurs, Ali Turpi, who's now a bodybuilder, amazing story he is, and a young lad from Scotland called Cameron McKinnell, who actually had his stroke in the middle of a football match.
This is the thing.
They're all very different characters with very different stories to tell.
But this is the thing, isn't it, Neil? They sound like they're all athletes. They're all fit people. It can hit anyone, fit, young, old. If you know, strokes can just attack.
Well, Ali and Cameron were in their late 20s. Michael was in his 40s. Michael Johnson was 50, 51. And as I say, one of the great athletes, he just thought he was suffering from a twinge.
Mm.
Luckily, he went into hospital and they said, you've had a stroke. Amazing. And he now looks as though as fit as a fiddle again. John is the oldest. He's 75 now and I'm 68. So we do go across the entire age range. And you're right, Selena. I mean, it has no discrimination against age, sex, whether you're fit or unfit. It can happen. And you have to try and take precautions. Mine was, they thought it was high blood pressure, so I'm on blood pressure medication now, because if you suffer a second stroke, it's almost certainly fatal. So you have to make sure you do the best you can, armed with the intelligence you have, to negate the chance of another one happening.
And am I right, Neil, that high cholesterol can be worrying as well?
Yes, high cholesterol, hypertension, people who are overweight, lead stress-filled lives. We've all got to calm down and slow down a bit if we possibly can. Because, as I say, no one knows about this. There is no advance warning. Look at, take your blood pressure, check your cholesterol, check all your good bodily functions, make sure you don't drink too much, smoke too much, and get too fat. Try and, you know, it's lifestyle, but, you know, the life is full of stresses. And sometimes, you know, a light bulb goes plop and that's you gone.
Yeah.
I mean, it can kill. So be very wary, but at the same time, it is livable with in its various forms. And I wanted to write this book to let people know that stroke is out there, because it's something that not a lot of people know about, and that there are ways and means of dealing with it, and most of which is a positive mindset.
Yes, I agree with you. I think that can help with a lot of illnesses. It's obviously
a sense of humour.
Yeah, a sense of humour. Yeah, yeah. Good point. I mean, they're obviously not going to get rid of the illness, but they can certainly help you along the way. What was the rehabilitation like, Neil, from the stroke?
Well, initially in the Royal Berkshire, it was making sure my blood pressure was under control. You know, bodily functions. I don't want to talk about bodily functions on the radio or anywhere really, but it's amazing how you just, you know, you lose control over things that you used to be able to control.
Mm.
The rehab where I was transferred was mostly physical work, treadmill, balance, up and down stairs, marching up and down. I mean, I look like an idiot sometimes, but unless you go, and of course there's occupational therapy, like using your bad hand to cut a piece of meat, pick up things that you've dropped, making a cup of tea. I mean, things that we all take for granted when you are like me and effectively one-armed and one-handed. It's a very funny existence, but I drive. I think better than I used to be. I'm probably a bit more careful.
Mm.
And I get by. It's tough, but I get by.
Yeah, I can imagine it must be very frustrating. I think I'd get really, really angry with myself. And you can't, can you?
I've screamed at more walls in the garden and probably at people in the street who didn't know I was screaming at them. I do it in you know, I do say in the book that I think I was probably one of the noisiest of occupants because I couldn't contain my anger and my frustration. A lot of people can. I couldn't. I'm afraid I got very, in the nicest possible way, people used to laugh at me. They say, "That's Neil getting dressed over there." And of course, there's all this terrible language coming from my bed, but I couldn't control it. I just had to let it all hang out, as they say.
Yeah, I think I'd be exactly the same. It's probably best to get it off your chest. They say that, don't they?
Well, I think, you know, otherwise, if you build it up and build it up, you know, you're in a bad situation again. I just had to shout.
Mm.
And I mean, if I'm at home now and my left foot still has a tendency to sort of splay to the left and I kick a door frame or I try and pick something up and I spill it, I'm afraid you don't want to be in the vicinity.
I'm glad we're both in separate countries at the moment.
Exactly.
So you've mentioned the rehabilitation and the physical side. Did you get help with the psychological side of it?
Yes, you could see a psychologist if you wanted to. Initially, I was reluctant because I don't think some people are more inclined to want to share their innermost feelings. I am not particularly, to a stranger. Obviously, they're very professional. But in the end, I relented a bit, and they're very thoughtful, trying to, you know, put positive ideas into your head. But at the same time, I mean, I actually said to one, if I stay like this for 5 more years, I'll be buying a single to Beachy Head.
Oh.
And she went, No, never think that.
Mm.
You know, because there are people who've had strokes who are so desperate that they lose the will to live. And I can understand that. I can understand that frustration because you don't see a great deal of hope. I mean, a simple thing for me, I want to get back and on the golf course. And I still can't even grip a club. So there's that. Oh, am I ever going to, I used to play golf a lot. Am I going to be able to play golf again? I mean, if I try and swing a club, I'll probably fall flat on my face. But there you go. That's one of my personal trials. We all have them. We all have to deal with them.
Yeah, it's very unfair, though. It's very unfair that the one thing that you, well, I'm sure there's lots of things you enjoy, but one of the, your hobbies, one of the things you enjoy, has been taken away. It just seems a bit cruel.
Well, I mean, something, so I'd love to be able to sit at a plate of food and cut it up. You know, have a nice piece of, but at the same time, I have to be careful because one of the other sometimes elements of stroke is you lose the ability to breathe properly and to swallow. So I have to be very careful what I eat because, it's, I mean, like a lettuce leaf can get stuck in the back of your throat and you have a choking fit. And so, you know, you just sort of be so careful about so many things. It's like, you know, it's like eggshells sometimes. And I just, you know, go on. Oh, I was going to use a terrible word then, but I won't. But deal with it. You know, I say, Neil, deal with it. Just get on with it as best you can. But I think I'm, my temper is shorter than it used to be. I get more frustrated than I ever used to be. I mean, I was invited to a lovely little drinks party. I turned up, and of course, I can't stand there and hold a plate of food and a drink because I've only got one hand. So I'm thinking, why am I here? But unless you get out and socialise and see people again, you'll just end up sitting in a corner and disintegrating. So you have to try and get out amongst people.
Yeah.
And try and live your life as best you can, aware of your limitations. I mean, people having to help me up the stairs, I just feel so decrepit. But unless they can help me, I'm stuck at the bottom. So that's the end of that.
Yeah, yeah. And it sounds like you've got good family around you.
Indeed, they had to bear their brunt because it's bad enough having a stroke. It's not nice living with someone who's had one because you have to deal with their frustrations and their limitations and their, as I say, their shortened temper. And hopefully the things that you sometimes say, they know you don't really mean, but it's just your pent-up anger at things. And everyone says, relax, chill out. Easier said than done.
Yes, I'm sure it is. I think that would really frustrate me if somebody said, relax, chill out, when they don't know what it's like.
Exactly. But you can't, at the same time, people want to help, which is lovely. And if I, sometimes I think, yes, it's very nice, but I need to do it myself. It's how to get the words right. So you don't feel as though you're offending someone when all they're trying to do is help you.
Yeah.
It's a fine line. It's a very fine line. You have to be a different person. It's as simple as that.
Yeah, yeah, I'm sure. It's a grey area. There's no black and white. Well, I think you're an inspiration. The powerful book will provide inspiration to those living each day with the debilitating effects of stroke, showing that there can be light at the end of the tunnel. The book is called Brushes with a Stroke, Sporting Survivors and Their Stories of Recovery. It's by Neil Harmon, who we're chatting to now. Neil, thank you for being so open and honest, and I wish you a healthy, healthy future. Thank you for joining us today.
Thank you so much, Selena, and good luck to everybody.
Take care now. Bye-bye.
Bye.